And welcome to Stop the Presses here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope I'm coming through okay. Had to throw things together kind of quickly. Today I'm checking something technically. And just testing a couple of things. Okay, I'm coming through loud and clear. We're having a little bit of a hookup issue with our guest, E. Michael Jones. Bear with me a few minutes. And at any rate, we're going to be covering some very interesting issues today having to do with the abortion issues in Rhode Island and the state of New York under Governor Governor Cuomo. These are very perplexing issues, and we're going to have to see what's going on here. We have another. There should be an incoming call. I'm seeing an incoming call from a Ruth Jones. Bear with me, ladies. Oh, okay. We do. Okay. I'm going to have to take the unprecedented step of making a phone call. And what is the RBN handle? Oh. Okay, hold on a moment. Not having a way to get through by phone. I'm not getting an answer. I got a busy signal. We'll have to continue. And I'll have to go solo for a little while until we figure this out, perhaps during the first break. At any rate, the issues to bring up to speed, and I apologize for the interruption, ladies and gentlemen, have to do, as noted, with the abortion laws, the extremely radical abortion laws coming up in Rhode Island and the state of New York. And E. Michael Jones should be with us at least starting about 20 after the hour. And at any rate, I'll kind of set the table in the meantime. First, we have New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, not Mario, Andrew Cuomo. Easy to get those two mixed up. Wasting no time in signing what arguably is the most radical pro-abortion bill ever conceived. And it happened in the state of New York, as noted, and it legalizes abortion for basically any reason. And that's as reported by the Rochester City newspaper in Rochester, New York. The pro-abortion governor, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, he gave Sarah Weddington, the attorney in the Roe v. Wade case, a special seat next to him, even as abortion activists around them cheered. And Cuomo also hopes other states will follow in New York's footsteps and pass similar pro-abortion laws. And it turns out that Rhode Island did the same thing. This is a very, very disturbing trend, ladies and gentlemen, that we're seeing here. And what it means basically is that whatever limitations there were on the timing of abortion and the way to go about it have been basically cast aside. And is Mike with us now?
Yes.
Mike, sorry for the technical delays. I was trying to set the table there. I was kind of fumbling around reading different news reports. But what I'm talking about, and of course you're very familiar with the abortion trends over the last few decades since Roe v. Wade and all the radical movements that have enabled this, and much deeper theological and philosophical issues that surround it. Let me kind of give you an introduction here that I didn't get a chance to do a few minutes ago. My guest is E. Michael Jones, the editor of Culture Wars magazine, and I've known him for the better part of 20 years. He's a very prolific speaker and author. He has a number of books that are that pertain to the issue today, including Degenerate Moderns and Libido Dominandi. And Mike, thanks for being with me today. I think you're out of South Bend, Indiana. I was addressing the radical, ultra-radical, unprecedentedly radical abortion laws being passed in Rhode Island and New York that allow basically abortion up to the time of birth. And what are we seeing here? I'm talking about sort of the immediate sizzle, the headlines, and we're seeing the ACLU promising to sue Iowa because Iowa's the one state that went the other way and made the most restrictive abortion laws that we've heard in a long time. But the ACLU and Planned Parenthood plan to sue. Iowa's making what I think is a grave error, waiting until July 1st for the restrictive abortion law to take effect. It gives plenty of time for the pro-abortion forces to marshal their lawsuits and everything like that. But what are we seeing here? What are the roots of this beyond the headlines?
Well, first of all, this is an infanticide bill. It's not really an abortion bill. Abortion is a horrendous crime. It's the most, in many ways, the most horrible thing that a woman can do because she is created to nurture life. So I think in order to understand it, you have to focus on that fact. What happens here is you have a woman who has an abortion. She is immediately burdened with a sense of guilt for what she did. At this point, she has a choice. She can either repent or she can double down and try to turn wrong into right. That is the existential crisis every woman faces as soon as she has an abortion. There are many women who have repented, but there are many who have chosen the other option. Now, the people who are behind this understand this completely. Because what you see here is with the promotion of abortion, you're creating a huge cadre of women who are now hostage to their guilty conscience. This guilty conscience is never going to go away. It's never going to go away. The woman will carry this act to her grave. And so what she needs is some type of psychic painkiller to get her through life. And that psychic painkiller is created by the feminist movement. The feminist movement basically tells the woman that she was heroic. She was some type of Promethean character who was striking a blow against patriarchy when in her heart she knows all she did was kill her child. The one thing, as I said, that woman is made for, and she got it wrong, and now she's going to have to face that guilt for the rest of her life. So what you're talking about here is the political motivation behind this. Because what we're talking about here are political actions. Andrew Cuomo is a politician. Politicians love political power. Not only that, Andrew Cuomo is the son, he's the governor of New York, he's the son of a man who used to be governor of New York, who made his claim to fame in the mid-80s. People probably don't remember this, but in around 1984, 85, Mario Cuomo was catapulted into the spotlight, national spotlight, as a Catholic celebrity who had come up with some type of way to square being Catholic as a personal decision and being pro-abortion as a political decision. It's impossible to do. It contradicts everything that the Catholic Church teaches, but hey, that didn't stop him from trying to do it. And in doing this, he had the assistance of the theology department at Notre Dame University, in particular, Reverend Richard McBrien, who was he's dead now, but he was a kind of publicist for American Catholicism. And Notre Dame was a bastion of Americanism and Catholicism, which tried to sell to their students the idea that you could be, there was no conflict between being an American and being a Catholic. Well, obviously, abortion was a conflict. And here was Cuomo trying to have his cake and eat it too. I was there when he gave the talk. He made a fool out of himself. But you can only if the public the press doesn't say you made a fool out of yourself, then it doesn't matter. So that kind of sets the stage here. This is the political mobilization of guilt, of female guilt. And it turned these people into a powerful voting bloc in the United States of America. These people now, it's like a pain pill. It's like an opioid for their conscience every time they hear something like this, because it proves that they weren't wrong when they killed their children. Now, there's another dimension, I think, that we have to mention here. Abortion has always been a Jewish issue. 90% of the Jews favor abortion. I don't know what the statistics are with Catholics, but it's probably 90% are against it, something like that. It's more than just the Jews favor abortion. The Jews, in effect, created abortion. This is not my statement. It's the statement of Bernard Nathanson, who was one of the two Jews, along with Lawrence Lader, who created abortion as a national issue by creating it as an issue in New York City. Abortion began in New York City and California, two states dominated by Jewish political power. And that's what these states have continued to be up to this day. Nathanson, in his biography, Nathanson, by the way, eventually stopped performing abortions because his conscience bothered him.
And yeah, then, he fully repented, didn't he?
He repented of abortions, and to show how serious he was, he eventually became a Catholic. But what happened along the way is that he before he became a Catholic, after he had converted, he would testify. He started testifying in Congress about what goes on in an abortion. He noticed something peculiar at that point. He immediately disappeared from the New York Times coverage. This is a man who had carte blanche to appear in the New York Times anytime he wanted when he was a Jew promoting abortion. And then suddenly, after he turns against abortion, he disappears. He's a non-person. He testified before Congress. He opens the paper the next day. There's no mention of his testimony, whereas before it would have been front page news. So what he realized here is the corollary of what I just said. I said that abortion is a Jewish creation. The corollary of that is that you can't be a pro-life Jew. That doesn't exist. And he had been simply erased from the Politburo photograph because he was a contradiction in terms. He was a pro-life. He had become a pro-life Jew. So what you've seen, because abortion succeeded in New York and California because of the Jewish dominance in those states, and the political operations there, it then became a national issue. And at that point, we're up to 1973 now, the Supreme Court ratified basically this Jewish project. That's all it's been. That's all it is now. Nothing has ever changed. That's the configuration in American politics. And in order to, the Jews are smart enough to realize that in order to advance this agenda, they need a Catholic frontman. And their first Catholic frontman in this regard was Mario Cuomo. And now the second Catholic frontman on this issue is Andrew Cuomo, his son. Except that now that we've upped the ante. Everyone has upped the ante now. The Jews have upped the ante. They're not simply satisfied with abortion, where there were no restrictions on abortion. They want infanticide now. They want explicit approval of the fact that if that baby's born, you can kill it. You can kill it, which was always considered murder, and now it won't be considered murder. Now, this has a calming effect on the conscience of all those abortion-performing, guilt-ridden women who have no other alternative. The only alternative they can't face is repentance. And so, therefore, they're completely controlled by this group of people.
What about the fact that not all women who have had abortions are the supporters? There are a lot of young, naive millennials that have never had children. They've never had an abortion. And yet they, too, maybe not needing that opioid, but they, too, are sucked into this far left radical maelstrom. How do they seduce the women that don't necessarily themselves have the abortion guilt, but how do they make it an issue so palatable for people even beyond those women who've had abortions?
That's called education. It's also called the mass media. In order to, you need members in this movement in order to convince the people who have not had the abortions that there are a group of people out there who feel this way. And that is the so-called women's movement. The heart of it is guilt over abortion. These people, the same people who are for abortion, control the media. And so they portray these people in a heroic light. And young people don't know anything simply go along with it because they don't understand. The young people who want to succeed in a world that is controlled by these powers simply conform themselves to this paradigm. It's similar to an even better example would be homosexuality. These women have nothing to do with male homosexuality, and yet they promote it as well because it's part of the package that goes along with being a good person.
Yes, as a reporter, I can tell you firsthand that the Associated Press style book says not to write pro-life, but use the words anti-abortion, but then on the other side, write pro-abortion. So they're discouraged in the AP style books and the other style books from saying pro-life. Always say anti-abortion. It gets right down to the style books. It's not just a, you know, trend in the media. They actually require it.
No, and if you're studying to become a journalist, you want to succeed in that world, don't you? And if the style book says it, well, I guess I have to adopt this position. And at this point, you're adopting it out of complete ignorance, because I suppose theoretically you could adopt all this thing, and theoretically you could believe maybe it's just a blob of tissue, and theoretically this and theoretically that, and then suddenly you act on that theory, and suddenly you realize, hey, I just killed my child. And I, not only that, I have screwed up my entire life. My entire life has changed. It's never going to be the same. I am totally screwed up now. What am I going to do? And then there's also, I've talked about this before. You see a random acts of violence, for example. It's like something that happened to me when I was in Philadelphia this summer. The delivery lady throws a chair at me. She got tattoos. She got piercings. She's got weird hair. She's got the T-shirt to go along with it, you know, some type of nihilistic saying on her T-shirt. What's going on there, honey? Well, you probably acted on the commands of the dominant culture, and you screwed up your life, and you're full of anger and rage, and you don't know where to direct it. Well, there are plenty of people out there. It's called the mass media, and they will direct your rage for you. They will channel your rage against someone like me. I don't call myself this, but you may think I'm a white guy. You know, it's clear. This is clear. Uh-huh. Okay, now the latest instance of that was the Covington, Kentucky students going on the Right to Life March.
We got about a minute before the break, Mike, just so you know. Keep going.
Okay, we can talk about this. Let's talk about this after the break then, because it's worth discussing.
A quick question then before the break. Wasn't Theodore Hesburgh in his own way, who was affiliated with the Rockefeller Foundation, wasn't he also another way of using the Catholic Church and a leading figure like him to sell abortion?
We can answer that when you get back.
Okay, we'll return after these messages with you, Michael Jones. Stay tuned.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's the 1st of February 2019. Your host, Mark Anderson. And as I announced this past Wednesday, my guest today is Culture Wars Magazine editor and author and frequent speaker, E. Michael Jones, who's been really busy on the speaking circuit as of recent times. A lot of YouTubes posted online that have him addressing a number of topics. And we're talking today mainly about the recent moves by Rhode Island and the state of New York to push the most radical pro-abortion legislation known in at least the history of the U.S., possibly in all of human history. At any rate, that's Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York and Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo. And she also claims to be a Catholic. Very interesting. But what I was asking before the break, Mike, we got about a 4 or 5 minute segment. Then we have a break at the bottom of the hour. Then we have another long segment. One more break, and then a last final segment, and then we're done. That's the rest of the show structure. I was asking about, before we get away from Notre Dame, although we might talk about South Bend and Pete Buttigieg a little bit today, Theodore Hesburgh, was he another nominally Catholic priest that was in a sort of clandestine way used to promote abortion?
No. He was used to promote contraception. No one talked about abortion at this period in history. And the period I'm talking about is the period from 1962 to 1965, when the Rockefellers paid for a series of secret conferences at Notre Dame, that the purpose of which was to undermine the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception.
Abortion, of course, that's part of the long road toward the abortion culture, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There's no question about it. But at that time, no one was talking about abortion. And if the abortion word came up, it came up in the same way that Margaret Sanger used to use it. She'd say, basically, what's it going to be, contraception or abortion? You're right. As soon as you decriminalize contraception, abortion is right around the corner. It lasted from 65, which is Griswold versus Connecticut. That's the contraception decision. To 73, which is the abortion decision. So what is it, 8 years, something like that. One follows the other the way night follows day. So that was the case.
One quick question. I know maybe neither of us are legal experts, but Roe v. Wade basically invalidated any state laws that prohibited abortion. I don't think it created a federal law that says abortion is now legal. It basically prohibited the states from prohibiting abortion, correct?
Right.
And so there,
struck down laws.
Right, it struck down laws.
The Supreme Court cannot make laws. Only the legislature can make laws.
Right, it struck down state laws that prohibited abortion. By my legal question that we can maybe handle in this short segment is, how then can states make laws that are even less restrictive than Roe v. Wade, to the point of New York and Rhode Island evidently having laws that allow abortion right up to the time of birth? Was that in the cards, that states could be even less restrictive than Roe v. Wade's, the effect of Roe v. Wade?
No. I think what you're seeing here is the intent rather than the letter of the law. The intent is basically no one's allowed to impede abortion. It's a one-way street. Of course, first of all, you can't expand abortion. Abortion is what it is. This is not, in a sense, an expansion of abortion. It's an introduction of infanticide. There's only, how close can you get to the womb? To the birth canal. How close can you get to the world from the birth canal? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a matter of when you cross a certain point, it's infanticide. This was the whole issue over the Gosnell film. He was killing babies that were born alive. Well, now I guess they all watch the film and saying, yeah, that's what we want. We want the right to kill our own children after they've been born. So it's not really, to answer your question, it allowed abortion. It prohibited restrictions on abortion. It doesn't put any upper limit on when that can happen or what can follow after that.
I thought there was some findings on like a certain viability, the viability of the fetus. Forgive me for using the word fetus, but maybe not. I haven't looked at the Roe v. Wade issue in a while. I thought there was maybe some discussion in there about what would be considered a legal limit. But I don't want to get hung up on legalities. I was just curious as how they could get away with such a radical law. But what you're basically saying is Roe v. Wade created a vacuum where anything can happen.
Well, I'm saying why you're right in saying we shouldn't get hung up on legalities, because that's precisely what the Supreme Court did. They don't get hung up on legalities. They have a certain goal in mind, and they rewrite the law to achieve the goal. That's obvious. That was the Black Douglas faction of the Supreme Court that was in power when these decisions got handed down. They knew what they wanted, and they rewrote the law to get what they wanted. This is not legality. This is Nietzschean will to power.
Yeah, totally amazing. We got about 1 minute before the break's at the bottom of the hour, but I want to expand the discussion since we talked about Hesburgh and the contraception matter and that leads to the abortion culture. I also want to talk a little bit. There was an article that just appeared, I believe, in Culture Wars magazine. And forgive me if I get the headline a little wrong. I don't have it right in front of me. Something like Rainbow Over the World. And it's a recent art in Culture Wars. And the homosexual movement is on a parallel track to all this. There's no doubt about it. So with that, we'll talk about that and South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg a little bit right after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Amazon.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And we're returning to Stop the Presses here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Your host, Mark Anderson. Going into the second half of today's show, February 1st, 2019, my guest, Culture Wars magazine editor and author E. Michael Jones. Mike, I was talking about before the break about the homosexual movement, which evidently and clearly is a parallel track to everything we're talking about today. How does this figure into things? And I know that your home city is South Bend, where you used to be a professor at St. Mary's College right across from Notre Dame, and the abortion issue figured into what happened there. I know South Bend is getting a lot of ink these days, the Atlantic magazine and others, because your homosexual mayor, Pete Buttigieg, is entertaining jumping from the mayorship of a small Rust Belt town like South Bend all the way up to running for president in 2020 on the Democratic ticket. I know that's a lot to take in, but South Bend in many ways seems to be sort of a nerve center for these different cultural movements that have led to the, you know, dire destinations that we're talking about today.
Yeah, the other news here is that Pete's father died last week. His father was Joe Buttigieg, who was a professor in the English department at Notre Dame. He had been there. He arrived a year after I did. I met him when he was there. He came from Malta originally. He was part of a big family. He was a Jesuit and then went to SUNY Binghamton, where he converted to postmodernist literary criticism. That's what he introduced at Notre Dame. He introduced Michel Foucault to Notre Dame. Michel Foucault was the homosexual French thinker who basically said that all sexual roles are basically, sexuality is a human construction. Foucault died doing what he loved. He got appointed to Berkeley, died as a result of contracting AIDS, whatever that is, in the bathhouses of San Francisco, right around the time that Joe Buttigieg, the mayor's father, was promoting Foucault and postmodernism at Notre Dame. held a conference there right around the same time, 1984, around that time. So what you see is Pete, growing up here, two houses down the street from where I live, never saw the kid during my entire 30 years here, never knew about him until he announced that he was running for mayor. He suppressed his homosexuality during the first mayoral campaign. He never would have won if he had announced that he was homosexual. I mention this because the only thing that he's running on now is his homosexuality. He hired a PR firm, and the PR firm is now making sure that they place articles, favorable articles, get placed in fronts like The Atlantic and other magazines like that, promoting him as a serious candidate. In these articles, if you read them, the only thing that they talk about is his homosexuality. There was an article just in the Washington Post just a day or two ago talking about the normalcy, so the sick, of Pete Buttigieg. And the whole article is basically about he's a homosexual, and if he is a man who is going to carry this cause forward, and if you don't like it, you're retrograde, and you should be ashamed of yourself. This is, in other words, one large narcissistic homosexual fantasy on Pete's part. But he's clearly been anointed by the oligarchs as someone who is to be taken seriously. Whether the voters are, and the fact that he's running for president from mayor of South Bend, where he's done a completely crappy job, is a sign that he cannot get elected to any other office in the state of Indiana. You would think, well, maybe try House of Representatives first. We have a lady by the name of Jackie Walorski here who represents us, who is a flaming Zionist, does everything that the Israel lobby wants her to do. She's vulnerable in that regard, not going to run against her, even though St. Joe County is Democrat, not going to run against her, not going to run for Senate. He couldn't get elected to be dog catcher in Kokomo because he's toxic. He's toxic for first reason because he comes from St. Joe County, which is notorious for its corruption. And secondly, because being a homosexual just doesn't fly in the state of Indiana. It doesn't fly anywhere, to be perfectly honest with you, except at the Democratic National Committee. And he couldn't get that job either. So this is a total narcissistic fantasy on the part of the oligarchs and Pete Buttigieg being in the same room with each other too long. There's nothing going on here. It's not going to happen.
I can attest to that, Mike, because I read one of the long articles that they planted as publicity for him, and it specifically said that if he had to run state rep, U.S. rep, U.S. senator, he would be dealing with smaller segments of the population where Indiana is decidedly a red state and conservative, and so he would have to transcend all of that and shoot for the presidency, at least statewide U.S. Senate, but probably the presidency. And that's about a year and a half ago. So that's exactly their thinking. You're not just theorizing here. That's exactly what the Buttigieg people are thinking.
No, everybody knows this. But on the other side of the ledger, you have people like Frank Bruni at the New York Times saying he may be the first gay president. This shows you who's behind this thing. And then Frank Bruni says, in his re-election campaign, he won 80% of the vote. Well, this is not true, Frank. First of all, Frank, you should come here. If you came here and checked the statistics, you realize that only 11% of the electorate showed up at the polls for his second election. And what you should have said, he won 80% of 11%, which comes out to something like 7%. Which, if it were a referendum in Bosnia, the United Nations would have to declare it invalid because too few people showed up at the polls. And then that's the reality of the situation. Even in South Bend, Indiana, it's hardly flying. I mean, yeah, you're elected because this corrupt Democratic Party dominates politics here, but that doesn't mean you've got a mandate. And outside of South Bend, you wouldn't even have that. So This is all blue smoke and mirrors. And on top of that, the situation in South Bend is not getting better. It's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Imagine someone from the other side saying, elect me because I'm a heterosexual. I have no ideas. I don't know what to do as president or congressman, but elect me purely because I'm straight. Imagine if it were reversed, how completely ridiculous that would be.
Well, that's exactly the situation. That's exactly the situation. And Pete is trying to face up to the fact that if you're a white guy, which is what he happens to be, you've got no future. I'm sorry, but you're ipso facto guilty of something or other, a race crime or maybe a face crime. And so you have to reinvent yourself as homosexual even to get considered. You can't run as a white guy anymore. It's impossible in the Democratic Party. So homosexuality is the only thing left for white guys to run. Sorry.
He'd have to switch parties, yeah.
But to get back to what I tried to talk about earlier, this is exactly what you saw with that whole Covington, Kentucky thing. The a student from Covington, Kentucky, Catholic high school in Kentucky, they go to the Right to Life March, and they're kind of ambushed by a group of blacks who start calling them incest babies and don't know what to do at this point, and they're kind of standing there. And then this Indian comes up and starts beating a drum in his face. And the kid who made national news didn't do anything. He stood there and smiled. And, of course, that infuriated everyone because he was guilty of something. What was he guilty of? Well, he was wearing a Make America Great hat. That was one strike against him.
That's almost a felony now.
he was white, okay, another strike against him. He was Catholic, another strike against him. He was pro-life, another strike against him. And he was from Kentucky. Another strike against him, and he was smiling. This is what Orwell called face crime. All of these things now have contributed to basically the demonization of a huge number of people in the United States. And I've said it before, but this is what got Trump elected in the first place. He was the only guy who used the word America. Nobody else talks about America. They talk about, look at that. What's Pete Buttigieg talk about? Striking a blow for homosexuality, striking a blow for your liberal credentials because you can vote for this guy because he's a homosexual. Again, I think what we're seeing here is the politics of guilt, the manipulation of guilt in some sense or other, and the channelization of this into the channels that the oligarchs want it to flow in.
Yeah, it's amazing. I like to look at these parallel tracks for these cultural subversive movements. You know, we've covered the homosexuality thing a little bit through the lens of the Pete Buttigieg phenomenon. We've looked at Hesburgh's role in contraception. We've looked at the radical abortion laws, unprecedentedly radical in Rhode Island and in New York, both of which have nominally Catholic governors. Right. And you look at this whole picture and it's like, it's like a race to oblivion in this country, and the media pumps it all the way.
What role does the Catholic play here? Hesburgh, Buttigieg is now an Anglican, but he went to the Catholic high school. That's how he ran. Andrew Cuomo, Mario Cuomo, Richard McBrien, they are enablers. They're front men. They give cover to the Jewish agenda. The Jewish agenda being the lady behind this bill in New York is State Senator Liz Krueger. Okay? They're the people that come up with the bill. We know in order to distract us from the fact that they are behind it, they need a Catholic front man. And that is the only position that Catholics serve in this culture. If you're a Catholic who stands for what the church says, like these kids from Kentucky, you're guilty of some type of undefined crime.
Yeah, it is absolutely incredible what we're seeing here. Now, wouldn't there have been a time when Cuomo or Gina Raimondo, the governor of Rhode Island, would have been excommunicated?
It never happened. Okay, it never happened. The time when that could have happened before 1973, it never came up because it was not legal. So you couldn't have some Catholic using his position to do that. Okay, it couldn't happen then. And then after that happened, there was a time when who would be the first politician? Teddy Kennedy probably would be the first one. And the bishops simply chose not to do it. They chose not to do it because there were other powerful players at that time. The Jesuits, Richard McCormick, the deceased Jesuit, who was also at Notre Dame for a while, was the man who sat down with Teddy Kennedy and kind of worked out their position of how you could be personally opposed. But so the time when this could have happened was back then. It didn't happen, so it's not going to happen now. They've just set a precedent so that it's not going to happen. To Ed Peters, who was a canon lawyer, wrote in and said, Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo had already separated himself from the ability to receive communion by his irregular marriage. His wife ran out on him, and he's living with some other woman.
Would that suggest the Jesuits and the Zionists or the Jewish factor in this are somehow allied?
Yeah.
Or at least reading out of the same playbook?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you want to read the playbook, it's called America Magazine. That's the Jesuit magazine. And what you realize here is that there is an accommodation that the Jesuits have created to everything abominable that America is doing. And they will find something good to say about whatever bad America does, whatever bad thing America does. And it's in read America Magazine. They just had an article right after the Charlottesville incident where people in the South are tearing down statues of Confederate war heroes. An article appears in America saying, well, they should do the same in Europe. Tear down the cathedral in Strasbourg because it has synagogue as portrayed as blind, or pictures of the Judensaal that used to be in Frankfurt is no longer there. So you see that these are interlocking agendas. The Jews are pro-abortion. They need the Catholic as the front to make it look more respectable than it is. And so this is a symbiosis that gets hatched in places like the Jesuit Order, in places like New York City and America Magazine. We're also talking about the McCarrick case. Okay, the McCarrick was Cardinal Archbishop of Washington. He would never refuse communion to any nefarious Catholic politician in the state of New York. Why was that? Well, could it be because he was a homosexual and that case blew up? And as a homosexual, he's feeling, number one, guilt for what he's doing. And even if he's not feeling guilt, he in that position is being subjected to blackmail. So what you have here over the course of this past summer was Archbishop Vigano writing a letter attacking the way the whole McCarrick case was being handled and saying basically there's a homosexual mafia that's running the church. What you see in something like the Jesuits is the linkage between the Jewish Catholic dialogue, the homosexual mafia, the fronting for Americanism. It all comes together in that thing, and it's crippling the Catholic Church right now.
Amazing. I'm glad that you brought up that aspect of this and that I sought to ask about it as well, because it helps clear up those questions that always nibble away at people that look behind the scenes like myself. Well, is the Zionist the only factor? Is it only a matter of Zionist power? What about the Jesuits? And when you explain this interplay, this symbiosis, it clears a lot of these things up as to how these groups interrelate. Because a lot of people want to blame everything on the Jesuits or blame everything on the Jewish power. But there's obviously, at least in these sexuality issues and these social and cultural issues, there is a symbiosis of the two. I think that's very important to point out. We got about a minute before the break, Mike. It's interesting to put all this together. We'll talk a little bit after the break about where all this is headed. But I want to talk also in a couple of minutes about what's coming up in Culture Wars magazine, talk about some of your books that pertain to these issues. We're talking about Degenerate Moderns is one that you've written. Is Notre Dame Still Catholic? If I'm not getting the title wrong, is another. Libido Dominandi, am I saying that right?
Libido Dominandi, Sexual Liberation and Political Control.
I think these books shed a lot of light on what's going on in terms of the roots of everything. And after the break, we'll talk about those. But do you have any new books coming out?
I'm writing the history of Logos and the Logos of history, which is
the Logos. Now that's been a frequent topic of a lot of your presentations lately, and that's probably beyond the scope of today's show. But here comes the distant sound of the ads. We'll talk about some of your books and upcoming things right after these messages.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest gun.
And we're returning to the final segment of Stop the Presses here on the 1st of February 2019. My guest today has been E. Michael Jones, Culture War Magazine's editor and author. Mike, there's a lot of ground that we could still cover. I want to thank you for being on the show. This last segment goes pretty quick, but I know a lot of your books have really provided a foundation for all of these, as I mentioned, Degenerate Moderns, Libido Dominandi, and whatnot. It's amazing when you look at how deep this runs and how far back it goes, ultimately, all the forces that have kind of converged onto the issues we're seeing today. Now, you mentioned another book coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's called The History of Logos and the Logos of History, and it's about reason or history. Logos is the word for speech. everything flows from something else that I wrote. The Jewish revolutionary spirit is based on the idea of Logos and rebellion against Logos that the Jews brought about when they crucified Christ. This is only a kind of logical extension of thinking that through throughout history. And part of it, the other part of it is, I've just been traveling all over the world. And, you come into a different culture. You come to Iran, for example. You come to India, East Africa, Europe. And you have to enter into a conversation with all these people. That's what Logos is. It's speech in its primary form. But the point is, how can you enter into a conversation? What do we share? And what I'm trying to say is that there's something deeper than the English language is pretty much what enables it, except for Germany, where I speak the language. But what we're talking about is some type of deeper philosophical understanding of who we are as rational creatures. And that is the foundation for the speech we have. And that's the foundation for collaboration in a time when it seems that we just are headed from one war to another. And chaos spreading all over the world. There's this thirst for logos, which is order and reason, and therefore the opposite of chaos.
It seems like the internationalism and the ultra-radical left-wing stuff we see is simply at its base a denial of the very thing you're talking about, where a man is no longer a man, a woman's no longer a woman, words don't even mean what they used to mean. They say white Christmas is about white supremacy when we're talking about snow on Christmas and a snowy Christmas, an absolute mangling and degeneration and erosion of the language and therefore the ability to communicate. So it seems like the forces we've talked about today are simply anti-logos at their root.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to a book, the topic we've been talking about today, which is about this, we're talking about the sexual subversion of reason, the sexual short-circuiting of reason, the promotion of sexual passions as a form of political control because it short-circuits reason. That's what libido dominandi is about. That's why sexual liberation is a form of political control. We're just in an advanced state now.
Hey, Mike, we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
Take care. I'll be in touch. Okay. Everybody, we'll see you next time here on Stop the Press is Starting. Continuing this next Monday. Thanks for listening.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.